This topic is one of the most taboo in all of society. Most people won't discuss it, or even think about it, since they don't want to deal with the immense social shaming that comes from it. As a person who studies history, you tend to see that we're incredibly ruthless to previous eras of history. That being said, every era of history thinks they're in the right, and they always do something wrong in a major way. Thus, it goes without saying that we're doing the same thing since every society does so. The human mind projects, and thus society which hates its ancestors really hates itself. That being said, someone needs to discuss the elephant in the room. As my father said growing up to me, if no one in the room is doing the right thing, that makes it your duty. I sincerely believe that the issues in modern dating are so horrible that they will cause a revolution in the next few years. For people new to my channel, that may sound insane, but I believe it unironically. I've made several videos talking about why I believe America, and I would say the Western world in general, is on the verge of what I've called at different points a civil war, revolution, or right-wing backlash. What I'm doing here is I'm trying to tease out the different threads which can explain a unique historic event which we'll only fully understand once it's occurred, as I believe it will. The purpose of this video is to tease out what I've said before is the biggest crisis of our time, in my opinion, and the most important variable driving this revolution, the young male dating crisis. Why are we waiting? The world is a dangerous and hostile place, and always has been, and Delete Me helps you deal with the hostile world of the internet. Data brokers, hackers, and other people looking to profit at your expense abound online, and without proper protection, you may suffer a lot. Thankfully, Delete Me scrubs your data from the hands of data brokers. Delete Me is an American company that delivers a quality service with no extra fluff. They remove your personal details such as your phone, address, and social security number from the web, keeping your information safe. They have several features that I really appreciate, such as custom data removals, family plans, regular reporting, so I'm always up to date with what's going on with my information. If you spend a lot of time online, as I'm sure the vast majority of you do, and want to make sure your data doesn't end up being sold to random strangers, get Delete Me now. And for my viewers, you can get 20% off using the promo code WHATIF or the link below. So click the link and keep your data safe. Part 1. The Taboo Topic. People are not rational. From studies, we've found that 90% of the population just rationalizes whatever their emotional state is. Thus, when you're seeing someone say something, in most cases, it's just a rationalization of what's inside their self-interest to believe. This is obviously true for the left in general today, which has philosophically literally said that logical consistency is white male oppression, and whoever is in power gets to determine what's true. In general, a good way to determine if someone is actually making an argument or rationalizing is based on if they use supporting evidence in their claim. If they don't actually have an argument against you, they don't follow a causal chain of logic or have blatant inconsistencies in their argument. We've found through studies where John Haidt is the greatest expert on this topic, and I believe him to be one of the best thinkers of our time, has done a tremendous amount of research on human nature, and everything I've said in the previous paragraph is from his work. He's also found that it's very hard to be rational about things which affect us personally. We tend to be decently good at analyzing the reality of problems of which we don't have a personal stake, but once you get closer, people can become intensely biased as their thoughts and words become excuses for their self-interest. As a tangent, one of the things which annoys me is that people appeal to authenticity, or this emotionally feels right, thus it's moral and good, as if emotions are an arbiter of underlying goodness or truth. That being said, your emotions are a mammal brain manifestation of your genetic self-interest. Your emotions are a lower resolution, more primal version of logic. which involves getting what you want. You'll find that people who are guided by their emotions are intensely selfish. Confusingly, often being selfless as a form of selfishness as a way for emotional stability or to look better socially. The reason I'm going through all of this is that this is the topic our society is capable of handling the least rationally. I'll see most people just break down into complete emotion about this subject. People very quickly lose their ability to be objective. I believe this is true, as mating is probably the most important thing in human life. Thus, we get very wrapped up in it. You will probably have a lot of emotions watching this video, and that's normal, but you need to take a deep breath, think about what I'm actually saying, not what it seems like I'm saying, and whether or not it's true. Whenever anyone brings up this topic, they get immediately called an incel. First of all, as you'll get to later, this is a terrible argument on any single level. If you said this in a debate in a sane society, you'd get laughed out of the room. A further irony is I get this a lot whenever I talk about this topic. You people know nothing about my personal life, and if you did, you would realize it's absolutely insane to say this about me. People use this photo of me from high school to mock me, but I also used to look like this when I was in better shape, and now I look like this. Well, I've been on keto for over a month to get into better shape now. There is a barrier between YouTubers and their audience for obvious reasons, which means you guys really know very little about me. I know me doing this here is incredibly petty, but the thing is, I'm responding to something even more petty, and I need to debunk this line of argument since otherwise it will clog up the entire discourse around this video. If you're a decent person watching this, I apologize. A lot of people think I'm some nerd dwelling in my parents' basement, but this channel is actually a pretty complex business that I make decent money off, where this is my full-time job. I have a team which works for me, I live in my own house, I make over 6 figures a year, I drive an Audi, and I'm 6'4" tall. I have a large social network, have founded 8 different social clubs, including one for professional influencers at one point. I'm pretty satisfied with my romantic options right now, and I'm just not an incel. Again, I apologize for the egregious bragging, but if I don't do this video will just devolve into people calling me a loser without a real argument. The reason I care about this topic is that as a young man, I see this issue hurting my people in a horrible way. I care about my fellow young men, and as you'll see later in this video, the whole society. I know hundreds of young men, and almost to a man, they complain about this issue being completely unbearable. I'm generally satisfied with my life now, and I made the choice that now that my needs are met, I want to help my people and community with their issues. Furthermore, I don't think people realize how insane the line of argument is you care about a social issue which affects part of the population, thus you're a loser. It's the equivalent of how in the Middle Ages, if you said the peasants were starving, the society would tell you that you're poor and shameful for that. It also portrays a complete lack of empathy or an inability to have any curiosity about someone else's issue. In fact, this line of argument just proves the incels right that society doesn't care about them at all, and that they're an oppressed underclass. I don't think people realize how irrational our society and its thought processes are. I've made multiple videos on this, but the short answer is our society has lost the ability to use causal logic. We just say random stuff and rationalize it later. The thing is, if you discuss these issues and the automatic reply is, you're an incel, that means you just don't care at all about the truth. What this means is relational warfare, or GSR, being gossiping, shaming, or rallying. This is a form of social piracy, in which you use social shaming as a way to push your own self-interest. Our culture does this all the time, every day. What all this belies is that we live in a culture in which young men are seen as completely useless. Society doesn't care about your issues, and basically actively wants young men to die. Just read between the lines at street interviews of women and men, reading social media comments, seeing what the media or academia, or even the government says. This is a harsh pill for many to swallow, and most won't believe it even if it's shown to them, but by the end of the video, you'll see why this is true. The other side of this is there's a large community of men who just go, don't worry about these issues, just grind harder, bro, at being successful, bro. They also like to call me a loser for even talking about these issues. This is the social equivalent of a foreign country conquering your nation, oppressing its culture, language, and history, and if you bring it up, they'll say, you should just make a bakery and stop complaining to make some money. If this is a social issue which hurts a lot of people, we need to talk about it and deal with it. I want us all to be successful, but that's different from just ignoring the reality of the world. There's also a school of just do blank to date. Just go to church. go to the bar every night, hit on random girls in the street, use certain images in your dating profile. I know lots of entrepreneurial guys and players. They have tested in some form every single kind of these, and they're generally not that effective. The thing is that a trick like this could work for a small group of men, but then once women catch onto it, it'll stop. It's similar to the stock market or the labor market, which will adapt itself to any hacks people use to invest. All of these are really just people coping, dealing with a horrible situation in which they're powerless. The reason I have this giant intro is that this is a topic which, whenever it's broached, people just refuse to speak about it rationally and shut down. For women and older people, they treat incels as if they're subhuman vermin, and anyone who speaks up about this is a whining loser. Meanwhile, for a large segment of young men, they're being consumed by so much rage on this issue that they've lost the ability to think rational. Or they're being consumed by the powerlessness of the situation and thus cope about solutions that aren't real. If I didn't have this segment, this video would turn into that, and I want to avoid that so it can remain constructive. A large reason that people become so emotional at the incel rhetoric is that it's an emperor's new clothes moment for our society, in which having to acknowledge that this large demographic of young men has been done wrong by our society would force us to come to terms with the lies and ideologies which we use to maintain our right to rule. And thus we attack the incels as a demographic because they force us to realize that our worldview is incorrect. Part 2, the greatest crisis of our time. 1/3 of men under 30 are virgins. 1/3 of men under 30 have had no sex in the last year either. Something like half of young men haven't walked up and spoken to a girl in the last year, and something like 1/4 of young men have never approached a girl in their lives. 2/3 of young men are single. Well, I think for guys my age, and I'm 22, the numbers are probably around 80%. The thing is that these are the kinds of numbers which people tend to feel sensitive about or cope with. Thus, the real numbers are undoubtedly higher. These numbers are absolutely horrifying. I think are symbolic that there is a serious issue. I hope people can understand why, when I look at this, I see what is likely the most important issue in our society. This is not to say there are not other very serious issues, but reproduction and mating are the most pivotal things in the human condition. Thus, when you create an issue with them, you're ripping the entire society apart. Something I like to teach older people is that whatever was going on when you were young is no longer the case. You see a similar thing with economics, where baby boomers often can't comprehend how economically bad it is for young people, in that Gen Z today has 90% less spending power than the baby boomers did in their 20s. The world is completely different for reasons I'm going to explain over this video. The biggest mental bottleneck here is that older people don't realize that dating today is no longer reasonable or rational. Things have gotten so skewed that people are acting in incredibly irrational and self-serving ways. The fact that there's an entire branch of data science based around dating, which is incredibly popular, is a sign that we're not in a good place. We have a bunch of metrics which we use to assess when societies have revolutions, but one of the most powerful is the average age of marriage. In every society in which the average age of marriage goes above age 28, there will be a civil war or revolution, as people are designed to procreate, and as that gets too difficult, they then burn down the system so they can roll the dice to get at least some shot of having their genes survive. The birth rate is now collapsing at a precipitous and terrifying level. It's scary to watch as almost every country in the world, except the poorest, are now having unsustainable birth rates. It's falling very rapidly and not stabilizing anywhere, rather just going down and down. In a country like South Korea, for every 100 of their people they have today, they will have 4 in 100 years at the current rate. The thing is, this isn't happening in the lab, but rather in the real, messy political world. What would the social ramifications of a change this big be? Furthermore, this is an example of how bad things can get if the sexes don't get along. A society with bad dating and marriage is a society which won't survive. This is a topic which I've made this video about, but there are 3 key factors which push dating to be what it is today. The first being the dating apps, which on a systematic level massively destroy the dating balance between men and women. What occurs here is that since it makes it incredibly easy for men to reach women, and women are naturally very picky, is that you end up with horrifying inequality. If Tinder, the biggest dating app, was a country, it would be the second most unequal in the world, behind South Africa and ahead of Venezuela. Tinder also filters for the most shallow thing, looks, and women tend to be even pickier on looks, while things like personality, game, or social class act as equalizers. Thus, what happens here is that the top 10% of men sleep with the top 40% of women. Meanwhile, the bottom 80% of men get basically absolutely nothing from the dating apps, while the top 20% of men gets almost all of the women. This creates a giant class of dissatisfied men, while most women compete for a small group of men who have no interest in dating them. The second factor, one which I discuss in this video, is that feminism has abdicated standards on any level for women. Literally think of any standards you can hold a woman to without being called sexist in modern society. You can't expect a woman to be respectful, attractive, take care of the children, not cheat on you, not be promiscuous. We have loads of expectations on men in that they're expected to be wealthy, strong, charming, kind, politically safe, and about 30 other things. A study asked women what they wanted out of men, and there turned out to be over 300 different options. Ironically, men, when asked the same question, just said three things: that the woman is cute, kind, and interesting. However, even with all these expectations piled on men, women aren't expected to reciprocate with any effort on their part. Something which my male brain has trouble empathizing with, although I know on an evolutionary basis why women are like this, is that telling young women to keep a healthy weight, not be promiscuous, and to not be socially annoying is just objectively good advice if they want to get a good man. And we constantly do the male equivalent, as I said before. But if you're offended at people saying that stuff, you're just offended by reality. The thing with all of this is that women are following the incentive structures provided to them by society. Most social things are, in fact, negotiations between competing groups with differing self-interests. If people are given leverage in a relationship, they will exploit it. For example, the advances in technology allowed mass government oppression in the 20th century since they could do it. Imagine with automation, you could see employers need employees less, thus creating a disbalance in labor and capital. Thus, employers could effectively treat employees as slaves, since employees don't have the leverage to push back against it. Human nature is very easily fallible, and thus whenever someone doesn't have an incentive to act well, they just won't. What has occurred with the combination of dating apps and feminism is that women never actually have to think about men's needs or wants ever really in society. Society actually tells them on a regular basis that screwing over men is the moral thing to do. The YouTuber Alexander Grace, who has a great channel, has compared the female experience today to being jostled by cabbies or people trying to sell you stuff in the third world. They're so desperate for your time and energy that they come across as annoying. Someone once put together that an attractive woman in a major city can get 1,000 offers of sex in a week, in which it's not uncommon she'll get 200 likes a day on dating apps, combined with parties, guys catcalling her, and other stuff like that. I think it's completely reasonable to have empathy to think that if this were to happen to a person, what it would do to their ego. Another thing is that people have just socialized a lot less due to the rise of these screens. And what that means is that dating apps are becoming practically the only option for dating, in which a majority of young people's relationships come from online. That means that the flaws in these dating app systems become exacerbated across the entire society. And as women have so much selectivity in the dating apps, that means they don't have to do stuff in person and go out to meet people in person. The thing is that this creates two different bad attitudes among the sexes. Since sexual selection is so easy among women, they don't prioritize for long-term happiness, but rather short-term thrills, which is why women go after high-value guys who won't commit to them and date bad boys. On the other side, it builds up feelings of rage, sexual frustration, loneliness, impotence, and powerlessness among men. One of my hot takes that people on the right probably won't like is that I think the people who are worst off in all of this is women. The reason I say this is that women are by nature dependent upon other people and the society more so than men. Men, when isolated, do a better job of surviving and staying sane. As a general rule, if you put men under pressure, it'll probably make them stronger. Well, there's a higher chance they'll just break women. Our society pumps young women with the worst possible advice so as to keep them isolated and easily easier to manipulate. Young women have the worst mental health now of any demographic in society. I'm yet to meet a woman under the age of 25 who doesn't have a serious mental health issue. In the same manner that young men are lonely and single, it's also true of young women, albeit not as bad, with only half of young women being single as young men. Nearly half of Gen Z women are slated to never marry and be spinsters. Young women have a bad habit, in my opinion, of surrounding themselves with people who just affirm whatever they want to hear, which ends up giving them the worst advice, which they then rationalize with politics. The thing is, processes like this become cumulative issues in which they add up to be more than the component parts. This is something I talk about a lot in my video on the psychological Black Death, in which I believe our society is going crazy in general. This exacerbates everything going on, since you've removed the ability to rationally reset. This bleeds into my video on Mouse Utopia, which I won't bring up here in great detail since it's so depressing and horrible, but watch the video if you want to know more. It's hard to convey in words how desperate most young men feel in dating. It's something which they very rarely admit, often to themselves, in which bringing this up makes them angry, but it's an unspoken subconscious terror which racks my generation. It's a sense of betrayal by a society which would rather they never reproduce, or better, never be born in the first case. Part 3. Shaming the Bear. One of the sad realizations of my life was coming to terms with the idea that our elite are not intelligent or capable. They were making their decisions based off fear, reaction, and stupidity. The evil cabals do exist, but they're not particularly competent or brilliant. The reason I say this is I see such profound disbalance, almost like a room that's about to burst with pressure versus another one next to it, which is a vacuum, sucking in pressure. I just can't believe no one else sees this besides me. These two rooms are the arrogance and delusion of our elite, which uses young, unmarried women as a demographic to pull authority from, and dissatisfied young men. I've talked about this calculation in multiple videos for multiple hours, but to boil it down, it's very simple. In fact, that the group which holds power is taunting and removing any incentive for the group which has a monopoly on force or violence, that being young men. I can't believe it since it's so stupid. Don't taunt the bear. The other thing which I don't understand is the lack of an out. When I invite people to events or to do stuff, I always give an out. I'll say, I get the impression you're busy, but if you'd like to come, you're welcome to. It's a way of not hurting someone's face, which is one of the most important parts of social interactions. If you want to oppress a group, establish a path by which they can cooperate with the system as a way to divert talent that would otherwise rebel. This is why the British recruited the Scottish or Irish to fight and populate their colonial empires, or why the Romans would co-opt and assimilate the ruling classes of the regions they conquered. Modern dating is a humiliation ritual for young men. Society won't tell you the rules of how to attract women, and in fact, it will give you the exact wrong advice. Then if you do learn what the rules are and share them, society will shame or cancel you. If you don't get girls, you'll be shamed. If you do too well with girls, you can easily get a false allegation which could ruin your life, or you'll be shamed for being a frat boy or fuck boy. If you try to hold your female partners to any standard, society will shame you for that, while she's able to complain about you for anything. One of the things which I'm shocked our culture accepts is that it's perfectly normal for women to complain about the men in their lives publicly and on the internet. One of my good friends had his girlfriend talk about his sexual inadequacies publicly on Twitter. Look at how on TikTok, there's an entire industry of women posting their dating advice with men, often talking about very private details, such as sex or things which the men said in confidence. This sort of thing is evil in that it's a complete violation of social trust. This sort of thing serves literally zero social benefit. These social platforms have a lot of control over the content they let out. How come this stuff is accepted, but YouTube will take down my videos on Southeast Asian anthropology or American regional cultures? This gets even worse with marriage, where there's a 50% chance if a man gets married, he'll get divorced, with in 70% of cases being started by the women, and among the college-educated ruling class, it's 90%. In statistically most cases, this is just because the woman got bored, not because because the man did anything wrong, but she can often take a majority of a man's income and his children. The courts are obscenely biased against men. Society will take a woman's word whether or not there's any evidence behind it. I had some tweets which went viral where I talked about all the ways young, especially white men, are actually discriminated against in society. We've already talked about discrimination in the courts, which if you want to add another element, includes the discrimination against Western citizen populations or political conservatives. I compared the oppression of young white men in the Western world to literal conquered nations, like the Irish under English colonialism, and found the only difference to be that the Irish weren't allowed to vote or own property, while modern whites can. This also includes job hiring, in which 95% of new jobs created since COVID in major companies have gone to minorities. This means that there's basically a war by established whites who run these companies against the young men trying to get started. Almost all young white men in big companies have been told that they won't get promoted and instead diversity hires will. This is hard to overemphasize in that, in addition to the sexual inadequacy, is financial inadequacy, which further emphasizes the sexual issues. One of the things I find shocking in my own personal network and with my personal projects is the insane level of quality I can get. I'll be working with people and think, I don't really have the money to pay you for this, but you should be the CEO of a company or working for the government's foreign policy. Instead, you're doing a project with the What If Altist guy since society stopped hiring white men. There is a giant class of obscenely competent young men who are dissatisfied and have nothing better to do. Part 4. Download this revolution. I saw this tweet which did very well, which said, "You don't understand. You have an entire generation of fighting-aged men with nothing worth living for. You should be scared." This summarizes how I feel, and I'm pretty sure the guy who wrote that tweet watches my channel. The thing I don't understand is how the elite goads young men and eggs them on. A thing is that humiliation is incredibly degrading, especially for young men, since they're society's foot soldiers and haven't passed on their genes yet. The thing which shocks me is how much the left gloats over its victory, removing young men from all culture, with Google Gemini as a great example, not hiring almost any young men, or basically making humiliation rituals in the education or corporate system. If you're a wise conqueror, don't gloat in your victory too much, since you derive no benefit from it and you want the conquered to cooperate. That being said, the left is not wise. It is in fact suicidally delusional. Another thing to keep track of is the two biggest influences young men have from women are porn and feminism. One of them makes them degrade women, seeing them as not respectable or as sex objects, while the other one is porn. The thing is, men hold the balance of actual physical force in society, and women have offset that over history by being kind and with sex. Men in general either view women as sex objects or wife material. Women, for reasons I don't understand, can't figure this out, and so portray themselves as one and expect to be treated as the other. Men tend to view women who aren't of marriage material with complete contempt. The thing is, we've removed the positive feminine from life. It's hard for women to understand how dangerous that is. Women are the humanizing force on men, and pulling out the chance of taking in the positive feminine will turn men absolutely violent. Men like violence, and if they're not incentivized against it, things are going to get really ugly. I remember there was this TV show where they tried to get a group of young men and young women to survive on an island by themselves. And what happened next was basically what you'd expect, where the young men did very well and the young women had to be rescued by the TV crew. And although this is silly, I think it's indicative of some underlying reality of the human condition, in that, in the state of nature, it's men's role to fight against the outside world with things like war or the jungle or farming, and women form the heart of the community away from all of that. And if you look over history, you find that there are patriarchal waves roughly every 500 years, with previous examples being the Augustan reforms, the Reformation, the fall of Rome around 1000 AD and more. So it wouldn't be that strange to imagine we'd have another one of these soon. And what happens with these is that in a world that's barbaric, men install themselves as higher social status than women because they're more responsible for facing the threats of the outside world. And then as society gets safer, women's social status rises, and men are willing to do this because it helps the entire society and them in general, until what happens is the men have no incentive to cooperate in the society, and thus the society falls apart and the cycle restarts. A point I'd like to throw out here is that we're getting to the point where among young people, the political divide is largely that of gender, where across the industrialized world, most young men tilt right and most young women tilt left. And you look at this and you think, how are they going to breed and start families? And this trend is just getting more and more pronounced over time. I was talking to my good friend Homath about where you meet women today. We've already spoken in this video about how online dating won't work for men. However, on top of that, picking up girls in places like parks or bookstores has become taboo alongside work. This leaves bars and nightclubs. The thing is that bars or clubs don't tend to attract good women and skew the odds against men in every possible way. The logic for nightclubs is to offer women attention as easily as possible, while lowering the chances a woman has to offer anything to the man, which is why women like them. Likewise, people say you can meet girls at community or friend groups, but as of now, there's an unspoken rule in a lot of these that you shouldn't date them, since it'll disturb the intricate friend networks which make up those communities. As well as that, women tend to just do less activities than men. Most young women just go to work and then go home. Homath then said one of the most blackpilling things in my life, with, I guess there's nowhere anymore. In my personal experience, of the 50 most handsome, charismatic, intelligent, and successful guys I know, the vast majority are single, even though they have a lot to offer. They just aren't that many mechanisms through which you can meet the other sex. There was a point in my life in which a majority of my friends were fuckboys, and they could generally get laid a lot, but not meet women they wanted or respected enough to date or marry. This revolt, which would be tied in with conservative politics and values, would not be pushed by losers. The upper-class men, even if their romantic lives are good now, realize how much in the long term the society is stacked against their reproductive self-interests, with stuff like divorce law, the indoctrination of their children, or the destruction of their societies in general. Revolutions work when there are counter-elites who support them rather than just being peasant uprisings, which always get crushed. The incel revolution would be led by chads who would gather incel soldiers to fight for them. Human nature is often a funny thing, and people look back in history and think, why do people wage war over such silly things like ethnicity, religion, ideology, etc.? And the reality is that if you look over human history, war is normal, peace is not, and every era of history will justify wars for whatever ideological reason matters to that society. And so historians looking back on this conflict won't see it as an incel revolution, they'll see it as an ideological war between the right and the left. And people will create ideological justifications and not admit how hard their lives are, even though the reason for the war is that their lives suck. The thing is, if you went back in time and interviewed the normal young men and soldiers fighting in historic wars, like, let's say the 30 Years' War, the Napoleonic Wars, they would say they were fighting because they couldn't get married or they couldn't find real work. And historians afterwards will rationalize the war for all these complex macro political and ideological reasons, but the reality is it's often just people's lives are too hard. This would be a war fought over ideological reasons, but keep in mind as 80% of young men are currently screwed in the modern dating market, and young men are those who fight wars, would mean that both the right and the left's militaries would be made up of sexually frustrated young men. The great irony here is that as women have gained more social power, they have used this to abdicate responsibility, which in turn makes them more fragile. The end point of modern feminism has been to abdicate responsibility for women. A woman can never have her feelings hurt on political topics, or intellectual ones, never feel awkward around men, socially, or held responsible in the failures of her own life. The problem is that reality is a horrible demon which will keep kicking you in the face if you don't want to listen to it. This has created a weak population which is incapable of resisting the revolution. One of my hobbies is data harvesting. I talk to hundreds of young people and ask them their opinions on various subjects. I also read the comment section of any content creators I can as a way of figuring out what the cultural zeitgeist is. I also release certain tweets and do polls to collect information what the public thinks on various things. On a purely intuitive basis, and you don't have to believe me, a large group of young men are desperate enough that they need to do this to not go crazy. Technological advances have made the ability to organize secretly through various encrypted online methods very easy. People will say, most young men are too fat, lazy, or docile to rebel. That might be true, but most people don't matter. In revolutions, there are tiny elites who mobilize the population. Normal people don't organize, thus their opinions don't matter, and they're conscripted by the radicals. Before the English Civil War, it was conventional wisdom that the English had grown too soft to fight. They didn't get a choice, as the Cavaliers and Roundheads conscripted men to fight for them. One of the few valid arguments against this point stems from the Mouse Utopia video. This is a long enough argument where I can't get into here, but read this text wall for more information. Basically, the nihilism and degeneracy of modern culture is unprecedented. A study on mice from the 1960s and 70s, which gave them perfect conditions for population growth, which then resulted in seeing their society fall apart, had very similar and scary conditions to the modern world. The thing is, the mice grew effeminate and weak. They stopped breeding. An important thing to think about, and the best argument against this to steel man the case, is that if you look at Mouse Utopia, the mice had rapid declines in male hormones like testosterone, similar to what we're seeing in the Western world today among men. And I feel kind of nervous saying stuff like this, because when you give someone five options and a single out, they'll often immediately jump on the out without thinking as a way to not deal with the issue. But perhaps due to Mouse Utopia, young men are too weak to actually fight. That being said, knowing young men, I don't think that's actually the case. That being said, if young men don't stand up for their position, even on a peaceful basis, our mouse colony is doomed, as procreation and society will fall apart. What happened in every single version of the Mouse Utopia experiment was that the colony totally failed, collapsing down to zero. Gangs of evil mice killed those who continued to procreate. This is the equivalent of the antenatal governments pushing various degrowth policies which crash the birth rate so much so that society goes extinct. That being said, this young male revolt would be absolutely horrifying to witness. People return whatever they've been given in most times. Society has treated young men as subhuman for years, and so I expect the rebels to do the same to their enemies. We actually live in a profoundly non-moralistic culture in that we don't hold anyone to hard moral standards. What this means is that once the blood starts flowing, no one believes in moral standards enough to check their bloodlust. This war will be far less humane than the previous American Civil War or Revolution. I've been betting my money for years that America will have a rape crisis at some point in the future. I've said in previous videos that for a bunch of reasons, which I explain in this text wall, that the right would win a civil war. That being said, you've suddenly armed a group of sexually frustrated, resentful young men. They'll probably view women as a leftist enemy, and thus feel no remorse for being brutal. There is no unifying ideology on the right, which means it will be exceptionally difficult to maintain a strong ruling government, which will probably devolve into various warlords, using effectively sex as a chip to keep their young men following them. For women in my audience, please be very, very careful in the future. To be clear, I'm not saying this is a threat, but out of genuine concern for what I think will be something truly horrible. And the great irony is that for me, just expressing this concern, I will undoubtedly be called a evil misogynist, which is just ironic. There are two changes women have pushed which have really shocked me since they remove leverage against men. One is defund the police, women have been able to use the state to protect them in the same way that men have for most of human history. By removing the state's protective ability, women put themselves in a precarious position where they need men to protect them, but they have since alienated their relationship with men who could protect them, or our society doesn't train men to be able to protect them in general. This creates incredibly bad incentives for predatory young men. The second is birth control. I'm surprised so few other people have realized this, but birth control gives young men tremendous leverage over women. For human history, a man would get a woman pregnant and then have to deal with her and the child. With birth control, powerful men can just use women for sex and then not have any consequences, which would then give the women leverage. I find porn very worrying here, where it pushes unrealistic and disgusting expectations upon men who often don't have much sexual experience. I've said before, I think the propagation of porn will have an enormous effect on history. Almost all men at this point have seen thousands of women naked, which has to change psychology and attitudes towards sex in a profound way. If you give young men power and porn is the source of their expectations, that's not good. At the same time, showing men the most beautiful women in the world naked while they don't have actually many sexual opportunities is a horrible combination because it builds up envy and resentment without a release. The de facto removal of monogamy would probably result in terrible dynamics where the new rightist nobility keeps harems while they dole out sex to their followers in exchange for loyalty. This is not a pleasant reality, and I'm not sure it's the most likely, but it's certainly a possibility. I think the reason women like The Handmaid's Tale so much is partly since it's a very good book. In fact, I would say it's one of the best science fiction books ever written. But also, women intuitively realize how precarious their liberties are, in that for most of history, men have treated women as property. A lot of people on the right have said that men haven't oppressed women over history. And I do think gender roles are driven off biology, but I can't write off female genital mutilation, foot binding, or PERDA. An important point here is that with the crashing birth rate, we will have to return to more historical, normal gender standards. In the incredibly rapid population growth of the 20th century, population growth was put at a low level of importance since it was occurring so rapidly anyway. However, as the world's population will start to plummet over the course of the 21st century, our culture will rapidly have to put a very heavy emphasis on family values, since raising the birth rate will become the most important thing for survival. To circle back to the beginning, humans are foolish and irrational creatures. We overreact when our emotions feel hurt, and one of the worst parts of the human condition are the oscillations between pendulums of both unpleasant realities. This is very plain to see, for example, in Latin America, where a right-wing tyranny will be followed by a left-wing tyranny. Opposite politics, but both of which are tyrannies. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth will make the world go blind past a certain point, even though you still need to punish evil. That being said, we have the power at this point to stop this overcorrection from being horrifying. Between us stand two rocks, one which is complete social extinction, and the other a society of sex slaves. It's up to us to steer between Scylla and Charybdis.